From NPR and WBEZ Chicago, this is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the NPR News Quiz. Hey, baby, you hungry? Let me be your umbilical cord. Bill Curtis here, and here's your host at the Chase Bank Auditorium in downtown Chicago, Peter Sagal.
Thank you, Bill. Thanks, everybody. We got a great show for you today. We do, because later on we're going to be talking to the two guys who created the decades-long running show, Blue Man Group. That is the show where the characters have no words to express their feelings and just bang on things. I know exactly how they feel, and it is still 5 months till the election. If you still have the power of speech, give us a call. The number is 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924. It's time to welcome our first listener contestant. Hi, everyone. Wait, wait, don't tell me.
Hi, my name is Matthew Parsons, and I'm calling from Chicago, Illinois.
Hey, Chicago. Why are you calling? Could have just come down and said hello in person. What do you do here in our fair city?
Well, I work as a project manager for a major airline that's also headquartered here in Chicago.
Oh, I see. You're being coy. What do you do for them?
So as a project manager, whenever we have a new city, anything like that, I help set it up.
Really?
Yeah.
You go in and say, this is where the plane is going to be late. Well, Matthew, let me introduce you to our panel this week. First up, it's a contributor to CBS Sunday Morning whose new book, Approval Junkie, has just been published by Crown Archetype. It's Faith Saley.
Hi, Matthew.
Hi. Next, it's a veteran of Late Night with Seth Meyers and The Colbert Report. It's Peter Gross.
Hey, Matthew.
Hi, Peter.
And finally, it's the Chicago-born comedian performing at the Laugh Factory in Hollywood on June 18th. It's Brian Babylon. Hey, man. So, Matthew, we're all here together. You're going to start us off with Who's Bill this time. Bill Curtis, of course, will recreate for you three quotations from the week's news. Your job, guess or identify what two of them are about. Do that, and you'll win our prize scorekeeper emeritus, Carl Castle's voice, on your voicemail. Are you ready to play?
Yes, sir.
Let's do it then. Here is your first quote.
Thanks to you, we made history tonight. Celebrate with a free magnet.
That really was the celebratory tweet of Who's historic but still pretty lame campaign.
Sounds like the inevitable Hillary Clinton.
The inevitable Hillary Clinton. Yes, that's right. And they said Hillary would never be magnetic. This week, she clinched the Democratic nomination. Or if you watched her speech, it's more like clenched. Now, to be fair, it really was a historic moment. Obviously, the first woman nominated by a major party to be president. It's an important moment, and everybody
Hell
was just...
Hell yeah.
And everybody yeah. was... Yes, all right. Bernie, of course, didn't concede. He's making noises. He said he'll continue to fight through the last primary, that's Washington, D.C. next week, but he also laid off most of his campaign staff, so he's becoming like a rogue effort, living off the land, moving from hiding place to hiding place.
He's becoming like the Jack Bauer of the president campaign.
A little bit like that.
You know what? I think, like, he really needs to, like, deliver his people, and I feel like they're, like, courting him and not being too, like, mean to him and stuff, and I feel like, you know, Hillary has magnets, and she has like the woman card and stuff on her website. She's got a lot of like products. Yeah. She really does have that thing.
Like, you can buy a woman. Card.
You can buy a woman card because they say she's playing the woman card. Oh. So, but anyway, I think that she should, because a lot of Sanders supporters, people are like, oh, I'm gonna have to hold my nose and vote for Hillary Clinton. I think she should put "I'm with her" on clothespins so that people can put them over
so
their nose.
That's great.
That's
and
so
walk
good.
Into a voting booth. I'd be like, I'm with her. I don't want to be, but I'm
that
with her.
So
I mean, if you just give those people a way to guarantee to advertise their purity, they'll do anything you ask.
Well, if you talk to someone and they're like, do you like Hillary? And you hear the sound, yeah, I like her. Then you know that they're wearing one of those.
That's genius.
All of these supporters who are saying Bernie or bust, I'm like, you got Hillary Clinton. There's the bust. It's the first one. Embrace it.
That may not be what they mean, but I appreciate that thing.
And they're like, oh, you've got us on a technicality. That's not the kind of bust.
All right, Matthew, are you still with us?
Yes, sir.
All right. All right, Matthew, here is your next quote.
Be nice to him. He's a poor first-time candidate.
That was GOP Senator Orrin Hatch making one of many excuses offered this week for whose strange behavior?
Donald Trump.
Yes, indeed. So this was the period between the end of the primaries, beginning of the convention, that Donald Trump was supposed to, quote, pivot, which usually means changing one's behavior, but in his case just meant turning quickly and spewing racist crap in a different direction. His latest, as you probably heard, attacks on a judge overseeing a fraud case involving him for being Mexican, which the judge is not. The judge is from Indiana.
Same thing.
Well,
it's
no,
not
actually,
New York.
Indiana, arguably worse than Mexico. I mean, where would you rather go on a vacation? Oaxaca?
Or Elkhart?
Or, you know, Gary. Hey, what do you want to eat tonight, honey? Mexican or Indiana?
Oh, basketballs again?
Yeah.
What's so bizarro about him, right? It's he can say racist and misogynistic things and people still vote for him, and you know, he can lie about stakes in universities and people still vote for him. And everything's opposite with him. So when he finally did a speech where he read the teleprompter, yeah. We were all riveted. Like, usually if someone goes off script, you want to see what they say. Yeah. But I only watched that speech because I wanted to see what it's like when he reads something. Yeah.
You know, for a while I was kind of scared that he would, like, kind of dispense with all the insanity and kind of just be calm for a little bit and people would line up behind him. And then, like, this last week, I was like, well, I don't know if he can do it. And then he sort of read from that teleprompter and you thought, okay, maybe he's going to calm down again. But, like, let's be honest. It doesn't change. Like,
but that's what's been so great about this week, because the press has been saying, well, he was kind of contained and humble for Donald Trump that night, but let's see if this behavior can continue. Oh, and it totally reminds me of my 2 and 4-year-old, like how I think about them. And I was just thinking all Donald Trump needs from the GOP is a sticker chart and an earlier bedtime.
Yeah.
And they got this thing.
That's funny.
They got it.
All right, here, Matthew, is your last quote.
All I'll say is that the owls need a bit of work.
That was a very brief review of a play that began previews in London this week. The play that continues the story of what beloved character?
Oh, gosh, I don't know.
Well, I'll give you a hint. They sell butterbeer at the concession stand.
Hmm. Oh, Harry Potter?
Harry Potter! He's back! And he's old! This week, the new 2-part play, Harry Potter and the Cursed Child, started performances in London. It takes place 19 years after the end of the last movie, when Harry Potter now is a beleaguered government employee who has problems.
Wait, he's out of the magic game?
Well, no, he's working for the Ministry of Magic. He's a high-level bureaucrat.
Oh.
Yeah. It's nice to know that even Harry Potter, the wizard, the chosen one, can end up being as boring as we are.
Is he under the stairs?
Is he just pushing papers?
Yeah.
Like, with magic?
Yeah. That'd be funny if he used Accio spreadsheet.
Yeah. Is he doing that?
Let's face it. I mean, I love the Harry Potter books. I saw all the movies with my kids. It should be done. Should not be going on. 20 years from now, do we want to be seeing the latest play, Harry Potter and the Curse of Getting Up 6 times a Night? Harry Potter and the Relaxed Fit Robes?
So is this anything...
Harry Potter and ED with his wand?
Well, you know, what if Harry Potter, you
just
know...
Just two levitating bathtubs next to a...
Like Seattle?
Yeah, exactly.
What if Harry Potter isn't faithful to Ginny Weasley and he's like, well, you know, Ginny, they say the wand picks the wizard. Bill, how did Matthew do in our quiz?
Like the Cubs, Matthew hit 3 home runs, one right after the other.
Thank you. Congratulations, Matthew, and welcome to Chicago.
Thank you.
That old black magic has me in its spell. That old black magic that you weave so well.